على عباده الذي اصطفى. أما بعد, so السلام عليكم. So we were doing the section previously on نسخ and on what is known as مختلف الحديث, how to reconcile between different types or two hadith or more, which there are contradictions between them. And Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that there are a number of hermeneutical strategies that we can use in order to be able to get out of this ikhtilaf between the two riwayats. Number one is jama', number two is nasikh and mansukh, number three is tarjih, and then number four is tawakkuf. And then in today's sabak, Imam Ibn Hajar says, thumma al-mardood. As for the rejected hadith. So what does he mean by as for the rejected hadith? What it means by that is that hitherto, what we have been studying all of this time, we were studying things related to the maqbool hadith. Remember we mentioned that as long as a hadith is not khabar mutawatir, then it falls in the hukum of ahad. And if the hadith falls in the hukum of ahad, then it is either maqbool or it is mardood. And then from the maqbool, we have things which are mashhur, aziz, an gharib. And these can either be sahih or hasan. And then we looked into the different gradations of those. For example, you have sahih li dhatihi, you have sahih li ghayrihi, you have hasan li dhatihi. And then within them, we looked at the maratib. For example, if the hadith is muttafaq alay, then that is of the highest level. If the hadith is then found in Sahih al-Bukhari, and then number three, Sahih Muslim, and then number four, that is which is muttafaq ala shartihima, number five, muttafaq ala shart al-Bukhari, number six, muttafaq ala shart Muslim, and then number seven, we looked at a hadith from all other books. We also looked at compound terminologies. For example, when Imam Tirmizi says, Hada hadithun sahihun, hasanun sahih, hasan and sahih, they are contradictory descriptions, and therefore a hasan and sahih cannot be. So we looked at the different theories on that. Then we looked at the discussions related to ziyadatul thiqah. Ziyadatul Thiqah is primarily maqbool, and therefore it is within the discussion of maqbool. Then we looked at the discussion of Shaz versus Mahfuz and Munkar versus Ma'ruf. Again, these relate to which hadith should be accepted maqbool and which hadith should be rejected. And then finally, we looked at the question of Mukhtalaful Hadith or Mu'arada. And Imam Ibn Hajar has given us four hermeneutical strategies: jama', nasakh, tarjih, or tawqif. So that is kind of the khulasa of the section on the maqbool hadith. Now we go on to the section of mardood. Is that okay, Hussein or Omar?
Yes.
That's okay as a khulasa?
Yeah, it was a great summary.
Okay, so now we go on to mardood. Okay, now if we come back to the terminology or the conditions of the Sahih Hadith. Okay, the condition of the Sahih Hadith is adalatul rawi, dabtul rawi, ittisalus sanad, adamul shuzuz, wa adamul illa. عدالة الراوي دبت الراوي اتصال السند عدم العلة and عدم الشذوذ. That makes a صحيح حديث. If there is a slight drop in one of those conditions, for example, if there is a slight drop in دبت الراوي, then the hadith is rendered as حسن. Now, مردود is basically the opposite of those five conditions. If there is a problem with one of the five conditions, the hadith becomes mardood. Now, there is one point here that I would like to mention, and if you can understand that, and if you can kind of process that in your mind, then everything that comes later on will be quite easy to understand. Although mardud means rejected, rejected basically means that it's not acceptable. It comes in opposition to maqbool. Mardud here is just a heuristic term. It is an overarching term to indicate that there is a problem with the hadith. And now that will cover the entire gamut of the types of mardud or defects, from the most extreme, which is the hadith of a liar, which has to be rejected, to minimal defects, which can still be used, which are still maqbool, and then can be used for amal. Okay, but these all come under mardud. So mardud is not a die-hard kind of terminology that every hadith that comes under mardud, they are rejected. Okay, every hadith that comes under mardud, they are rejected. No, it is just a heuristic device to loosely categorize and to indicate that a hadith is weakness. Now, depending on the intensity of the weakness, the hadith is either accepted or the hadith is either rejected. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Omar.
Yeah, but why do they call it mardud if we use some of the, weak hadith, like for example in virtuous deeds and things
So
like that?
they use it mardud in the sense to show that there is a weakness in there, whereas they can't ex call it they can't include it within the maqbul, because within the maqbul they've only included the sahih and the hasan. You see, everything which falls below the level of hasan will be on the level of mardud. But mardud is, like I said, it's a heuristic device. Do you understand what I mean by heuristic device?
Right, it's like something that's helping
It's not,
you
it's,
understand.
yeah,
Yeah,
it's
it's not
helping you to understand, but it's not kind of like a die-hard
firm red line.
firm terminology. It's just
Right,
a
right.
way of categorizing for the sake of kind of like categorization. Does that make
Right.
sense?
Makes
So you will
sense.
see, that there is riwayats where it has somebody who's got a minor lapse in memory. Okay, a person with minor lapse in memory, these hadiths are tolerated and accepted, providing there are certain conditions met. But that falls within the mardud. A person who's Ahlul Bid'ah, the person's hadith is tolerated with certain, all of these are with certain conditions, but still it comes within the mardud, because we can't classify them with in maqbul, because when we put them in the maqbul, it shows that they don't have any defects in them. Right.
Right.
So the mardud is a heuristic device in order to categorize everything that has got defects. Whether we accept them for amal or not depends on the intensity and the gravity of the weakness. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. I think if you can process that, then it'll be quite easy, because later on they'll say, well, this is accepted and this is not. And then you're thinking, why are we talking mardud if these hadiths are accepted? Mardud is
Sheikh,
just a heuristic device.
would it be accurate to say it's more of an art than a science in
Well,
terms of the category? Yeah.
I mean the yes, it is. It is not a. I mean, the entire ulum al-hadith is a science. It's not a science. It
Right.
is an art. But here, it's like an art as well, if you want to call that. Okay, wa mujibur rad. Right, وموجب الرد إما أن يكون لسقط من إسناد أو طعن في الراوي على اختلاف وجوه الطعن. وموجب موجب from أوجب يوجب means to obligate something. وموجب الرد basically means the thing that obligates the rejection. In other words, the causes of rejection, yeah, is two. It is either there is a problem with the isnad, imma ayyakuna li siqtin min isnad, either there is a omission and drop in the isnad, aw ta'anin fi rawin, or there is a criticism in the rawi, right? Ala ikhtilafi wujuhi ta'an, based upon the different criteria for criticism. Now, here, all five weaknesses in all five of the terminologies is being demonstrated. Okay, remember we said adalatul rawi, dabtul rawi, ittisalus sanad, adamul shuzuz, adamul illa, are the conditions of a sahih hadith. By saying imma ayyakuna lisiqatin minan isnad, Imam Ibn Hajar is showing that there is a problem with the ittisalus sanad, and when there is a problem with the ittisalus sanad, then that hadith falls within the category of mardud. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Number two is awta'anin fi rawin, and when there is a criticism in the rawi. So remember we said either the adalatul rawi, the character of the rawi, or dhabtul rawi, or the erudition of the rawi, right? Mm. If there is a problem in the adalatul rawi and the dhabtul rawi, then this is known as this is a problem in the isnad. Okay, this is the problem in the hadith. But Imam Ibn Hajar did not say ta'anin aw ta'anin fil adala aw ta'anin fil dhabt, but he just said ta'anin fi rawin ala ikhtilafi wujuh ta'an, based on the different ways of criticizing a riwayah. And the reason why he said rawin rather than adala, specifying ta'an fi adala til rawi or ta'an fi dhabt al rawi, and then adding this ala ikhtilafi wujuh, based on the different ways of doing wujuh, of doing criticism, is so that he includes adam al illa and adam al shuzuz, or in this case, the presence of illa or the presence of shuzuz. Okay, and he explains this. He says, "A'ammu min ay yakuna li amrin yarji'u ila diyanati rawi aw ila dhabtihi." It is more a'am, it is more extensive. So what is more extensive? So he's saying, "Aw ta'anin fi rawin ala ikhtilafi wujuhi ta'an." This sentence is more extensive. It's more inclusive, it's more inclusive than to point out faults in the character of the rawi or the erudition of the rawi. لِأَمْرٍ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى دِيَانَةِ الرَّاوِي أَوْ إِلَى ضَبْطِهِ. Because remember we said, he could have said, إِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ لِسِقْطٍ مِنْ إِسْنَاد أَوْ طَعْنٍ فِي عَدَالَةِ الرَّاوِي أَوْ طَعْنٍ فِي ضَبْطِ الرَّاوِي. Right? And that covers three of the five. But by saying ta'anin fi rawi ala ikhtilafi wujuhi ta'an, he's including adalatul rawi, he's including dabtul rawi, he's including ilal, and he's including shuzuz, because by saying wujuhi ta'an, you are also including criticisms related to shuzuz and also related to ilal. Okay. And therefore, by these two, imma yakuna li siqtin min isnadin aw ta'anin fi rawin ala ikhtilaf wujuh ta'an, he is including all five conditions of the sahih. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. So nowadays you will get some scholars like Sheikh Nasiruddin Al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi. You know, he, when he does isnad analysis and he does hukum of hadith, primarily, he is doing hukum of a hadith by looking at the first condition, siqtu min isnad, siqtu min isnad, or by looking at if there is a fault in adalatul rawi or dabtul rawi. Okay, this is what we called at-ta'anu fi zahiri al-isnad. Okay, but what Sheikh Albani doesn't do, because he doesn't have the technical expertise to do that, is he does not criticize or he does not look into the ilal of the ahadith. And this is not me saying, this is Sheikh Ahmad Sunobar He's a great scholar from Jordan. He actually writes this, and he says if we look at the types of criticism that Sheikh Albani does, then he out of the five conditions of the Sahih, he only engrosses himself with three, because the Adam al-Shuzuz and Adam al-Illah is actually much more subjective, and it's much more deeper, and it takes a lot more expertise to be able to detect, because it is subtle. So he is somebody who can, you can say, is criticizing Zahirul Isnad, but he does not look into the ilal. And Imam Ibn Hajar here is preempting this, and he says, "Ta'anin fi rawin ala ikhtilafi wujuhi ta'an." By saying this, he's trying to preempt that there will be people who will just look at Adalatul Rawi, Dabtul Rawi, and Ittisalul Sanad, and they will forget the Adam al-Shuzuz and Adam al-Illah out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. فَالسَّقْطُ إِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ. So now we go with the first one, which is a saqt. Saqt basically means an omission or a drop in the isnad. So if there is a saqtun fil isnad, or saqt min isnad, is the opposite of ittisalus sanad. So he says, فَالسَّقْطُ إِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ مِن مَبَادِئِ السَّنَدِ مِن تَصَرُّفِ مُصَنِّفٍ أَوْ مِنْ آخِرِهِ أي الإسناد بعد التابعي أو غير ذلك or other than the two. That the drop and the omission in the isnad is either from the mabadi usanad, it is either from the beginning of the isnad, and the beginning of the isnad is the portion of the isnad that starts with the author, for example, like Bukhari. The end of the isnad is the part of the isnad which ends with the Prophet. So although from the point of view of who is the author of the hadith, the beginning of the isnad is the Prophet, then the Sahabi, then the Tabi Tabi'i. But for the point of hadith isnad analysis, we say that the beginning of the isnad is the point of the author, and the end of the isnad is where the mutan sits. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, because sometimes it gets confusing which is the beginning and which is the end. So the beginning of the isnad is the point of the point which is from the musannif, for example, of Bukhari. So if there is a drop in the isnad min mabadi isnad, from the beginning of the isnad, min tasarrufi musannifin, and it is done by the author, it is done by the compiler. So let's say it's Imam al-Bukhari, he is the author, and he is the one who is doing the drop. Yeah? So in so either that, أو من آخره الإسناد, or the omission is at the end of the isnad, after the tabi'i. Okay, after the tabi'i. So after the tabi'i, naturally, is the sahabi that comes. Then after the sahabi, it is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But here we are stopping short on the tabi'i, and that's where the and then the sahabi is missing. This is called a saqt fi akhir al isnad. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Aw ghayri dhalika, or other than these two. Other than these two will basically mean in the middle of the isnad. So it's a logical categorization. You either have a drop in the beginning of the isnad, or you either have a drop in the end of the isnad, or you have a drop in between. Okay, and they have different technical. So basically, is the concept of this breaking of the ittisal. Where that break happens and how it happens, we categorize them into different names. Okay, but all of them can come under the ambit and all under the category of inqita'. All of them can come under the category, the linguistic category of inqita', but due to where this inqita' happens, we give it technical terminology. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to get my pen out. Just give me 1 minute, okay?
No problem.
My pen is in the room, so let me just mute. Right, so what I need is the whiteboard open. Going to go off camera because
No
I
problem.
want you really looking up at my face while I'm writing. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so so we were looking at, let's say this is a musannif. Musannif, right? Then you have, oh,
Disappeared.
jeez, not sure what happened there. Imam al-Bukhari. We have Rawi. Can you see this?
Yep.
So if we have a break, no, actually. Let's put another person in there so that will make things easier. Rawi, Tabi'i, Sahabi, Rasul. So if we have, we can either have a break here, or I'm going to use different colors here. We can have a break omission here, or we can have an omission anywhere here. Yep. These are all omissions.
Right.
This one, if there is a break in the beginning of the isnad,
It's the
this is
red one.
called al-mu'allaq. If there is a break at the end of the isnad where the sahabi is missing, this is called al-mursal. And if there's break anywhere else in the isnad, this is called Al-Munqati'. It didn't come out right. Al-Munqati', yeah? Al-Mu'allaq, Munqati', Mursal, and Mu'allaq. However, there is one other special category. Yeah? Which is when there are two rawis missing consecutively, yeah, consecutively when there are two rawis missing, this is called al-mu'dal. Mu'dal from the word adal, which basically means complicated. Okay, so what we have is all of these fall within the ambit of inqita'u sanad, yeah, linguistically inqita' as-sanad, which basically means a drop in the isnad, as opposed to ittisalu sanad, right? Inqita'u sanad. If it's in the beginning of the isnad, then it is known as al-mu'allaq. If it's at the end of the isnad, it is called mursal. If it is anywhere else in the middle, it is munqati'. However, if there are two isnads, two rawis missing consecutively, then this is called al-mu'dal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, we will get back to this again. Fasiqtu imma, okay. فالأول المعلق سواء كان الساقط واحدا أم أكثر. So if there is a split from the beginning of the isnad, it doesn't matter whether there is one sakt, there is one omission or more, then this is called mu'allaq. So as long as you start from the author, if the drop is happening consecutively from the author, then that is called mu'allaq. So for example, if I was to give you a an example of mu'allaq, we see mu'allaq, let's say Bukhari, Rawi, 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 Tabi'i, Sahabi, Rasul. Right. So if we have, this will be a, right, this is omitted. And then Bukhari is narrating from his teacher's teacher, and he's omitted his teacher. This is called mu'allaq. Yeah? Mu'allaq can also be this Bukhari. Bukhari, he is omitted two teachers, and he is the one that's doing it. This can also be a mu'allaq. This is also a mu'allaq.
Wow.
This is also a mu'allaq. Right?
Wow.
And so what will Bukhari say here? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what we say. This is what we do. We're always doing mu'allaq. When we mention a hadith, we say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innamal a'malu bin niyat. When we're dropping the isnad, this is actually mu'allaq, ta'liq. Okay?
Interesting.
And mu'allaq is a sign of weakness. It's a sign of rod. Not when we do it, because if I say, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات, then everybody knows, and I say this hadith is in Bukhari, then everybody knows that Imam Bukhari has got the isnad for that. So although I am narrating the hadith mu'allaqan, but the hadith has got an isnad. So it's not really a big deal if I narrate a hadith without the isnad. Does that make sense? But if
yes.
Imam Bukhari was narrating a hadith, remember all of these relate to Asr al-Tadwin. Now, if Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, was narrating a hadith without isnad, and he doesn't provide an isnad for it, then that will be problematic, or he misses a few people out. Unless he has mentioned that hadith somewhere else in his book, or we all know, but the muhaddithin know, that there is an isnad for this hadith. For example, many a times what Imam Bukhari does in his Sahih Bukhari is that he will use a hadith, the words of a hadith as chapter headings. So, Babu Maja'a, and he will use actually a word of hadith, but that hadith is not either according to his condition or is not sahih according to him. So, he will not use the hadith as a sahih, as a hadith in the book. He will use it as a chapter heading. Now, and it's exactly the wording of the hadith. So, for example, he uses a hadith, found in Ibn Majah, but he uses it as Babu Maja'a, you know, etc., etc. Now, he knows it's a hadith, and the ulama know it's a hadith, but he's using it mu'allaqan, because he's not actually using it as a hadith. But that hadith has a sanad in another book, which is Ibn Majah. Although Ibn Majah, he postdates Imam Bukhari, obviously, but Imam Bukhari knew that hadith. But that hadith now is found in Ibn Majah. Does that make sense? So this is what it means, that we're looking at the Asr of Tadwin, and if a narrator during that time was to bring a hadith and they didn't bring an isnad for it, or they missed out some people. They missed out some people from the beginning of the isnad. Then this will be called mu'allaq, because how do ulama then kind of analyze that hadith? Does that make sense?
Makes sense. What which books would we most likely fa find mu'allaq hadith in? Because it's obviously not going to be in the sahih books, right? Since the narrations are authentic in those books. Unless, I guess, is there, yeah, I don't know, that's my question, I guess.
The idea is that in the Asr al-Tadwin, every single ahadith needs to have an isnad. If the isnad is not found for a hadith, then the hadith is deemed to be weak, because how do we how do we ascertain whether this hadith is sahih, because if the isnad is missing? Okay, so
Got it.
this is the assumption. Now, the ulama have mentioned a hadith without isnad. For example, Imam Bukhari, the Mu'allaqat of Bukhari. Imam Bukhari has many ahadith which are mu'allaq. Like I mentioned, that he uses them as chapter headings, and he didn't give the isnad for them. So it is later scholars, for example, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he then will look at all of the mu'allaqat of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh, and then he will find isnads for those mu'allaqat of Bukhari. And in fact, one of the very first books that Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani wrote was called called Ta'liq al-Ta'liq, right? Ta'liq al-Ta'liq is basically his work he wrote when he was 30 years old, around his 30s, on the mu'allaqat of Imam Bukhari. And that's the book that actually threw him in the limelight. And the ulama, they saw that he is writing on the mu'allaqat of Imam al-Bukhari, and Imam Bukhari didn't tell us what those isnad was. He collected all of those isnads, so he became famous, called Ta'liq al-Ta'liq. Similarly, there is a concept called Balaghatul Malik. Balaghatul Malik means Imam Malik just says Balaghani, it has reached me, and he misses out the isnad and directly narrates from a tabi'i or from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later scholars like Allama Ibn Abdul Barr took it upon themselves to find the isnads for all of the balaghat of Imam Malik, right? So it's not that there wasn't an isnad. It's just that this was the style of the scholars. They felt no need to give the isnad at that time. But if they did a had if they produced a hadith which is mu'allaq, and nobody in this world was able to find an isnad for that hadith, then that hadith would be deemed daif. Does that make sense?
Got it. It makes a lot of sense. Thank you for the explanation.
Okay. فالأول المعلق سواء كان الساقط واحدا أم أكثر، وبينه وبين المعضل الآتي ذكره عموم وخصوص من وجه. And between the mutlaq, between the معلق and the معدل. What is the معدل? The معدل is the one where there is two narrators consecutively missing. So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is saying between the mu'allaq and the mu'dal, there is an umum khusus min wajhin narration, relationship. Umum khusus min wajhin relationship is that some mu'allaq, so there is a general to specific relationship between them in certain cases. And what those certain cases is that certain mu'allaq are mu'adal and certain mu'allaq are not mu'adal. Okay, but there are instances where both of them get together. For example, can you see my mouse?
Yes.
In this isnad, what we find is that there is no relationship between mu'allaq and mu'dal, right? Mu'allaq is the missing from the beginning of the isnad, and mu'dal is two rawis which are missing. But if we were to do it something like this, right? If we were to do the, let's take a different color, light blue. Right, Imam Bukhari misses out the first rawi and the second rawi. Yeah, then we will say that this isnad is simultaneously mu'allaq and mu'dal. It's mu'allaq because the beginning of the isnad is missing, and it's mu'dal because two isnads are
It's been
consecutive,
around.
two rawis are consecutively missing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so he says that. وبينه وبين المعدل الآتي ذكر عموم وخصوص من وجه فمن حيث تعريف المعضل بأنه سقط منه اثنان فصاد صاعدا يجتمع مع بعض الصور المعلق ومن حيث تقييد المعلق بأنه من تصرف مصنف من مبادئ السند يفترق منه إذ هو أعم من ذلك. So we see that from the point of view of the definition of mu'dal, that it is بأنه سقط منه اثنان فصعدا, where there is two or more are consecutively missing, يجتمع مع بعض صور المعلق, it can collate together in some circumstances with the mu'allaq, like we have done here, the two are missing. And because it's the bidayah to sanad is mu'allaq, and because there's two missing is mu'dal. ومن حيث تقييد المعلق بأنه من تصرف مصنف من مبادئ السند يفترق منه. And from the point of view that the ومن حيث تقييد المعلق بأنه من تصرف مصنف من مبادئ السند, that from the point of view that the condition of معلق is that it needs to be done by the author in the beginning of the من مبادئ السند, in the beginning of the سند يفترق منه. The mu'dal is different than that, إِذْ هُوَ أَعَمُّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, because the mu'dal is more general than the mu'allaq. The mu'allaq basically is that it has to be narrowly confined to the beginning of the isnad, and the musannif needs to be doing that. Whereas the mu'dal is that it can be found anywhere else in the isnad, and it's not necessarily the author that is doing the drop, it might be somebody else. So if we were to give you an example, for example, if I was to give you an example of again Imam Bukhari, and we'll put Ra here for Rawi, Rawi, راوي تابعي صحابي رسول, right? Let's say that there are two people missing here. Yeah. Two people missing here is معضل. But it's not necessary that Imam Bukhari is the one who's making the drop. It can be this rawi here who's making the drop, or it can be this rawi here who's breaking the making the drop. It's not necessarily Imam Bukhari who's making the drop. Whereas in the case of mu'allaq, it is the musannif who has to be making the drop. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, yeah.
That's what he's saying. So basically saying that there are instances where a mu'allaq and mu'dal will coincide, and there are instances where they will not. coincide. وَمِنْ سُوَرِ الْمُعَلَّقِ And one of the examples of a معلق is أن يحذف جميع السند ويقال مثلا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, so like the way that we do, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس. This is معلق. Okay, but we don't call that weak. The reason why we don't call that weak is because the isnad is established for that hadith and we know which book it's from. It only becomes weak, or it only was weak when the hadith were being collected and somebody just came up with قال رسول الله بني الإسلام على خمس and didn't give the isnad to be checked. That's when a معلق is weak. Does that make sense? So we shouldn't confuse what is being said in the Ulum al-Hadith book with our practices today, because our practices, even though it is called mu'allaq, right, does not have an effect on the hadith because everybody knows where the hadith is and they can go and check up the isnad. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yes, it makes sense.
But for a muhaddith to say qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without giving an isnad, that is mu'allaq. ومنها أن يحذف إلا الصحابي أو إلا أو إلا التابعي والصحابي معا. Or somebody can say عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما نحن عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بينما نحن عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ دخل علينا رجل and just you just mentioned عبد الله you know what's his name عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم again the isnad only has the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and عمر بن الخطاب but the rest of the isnad is missing that is you know also known as معلق. Or you can say عن عبد الله بن عمر عن أبيه عمر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that is also معلق. So basically معلق is missing of anyone ومنها معلق is missing of anyone from the beginning of the isnad. Okay,
got it.
So أن يحذف جميع السند and then the second one is ومن أن يحذف إلا الصحابي meaning that the entire سند is missed right other than the صحابي so he says قال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه على المنبر قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم so the صحابي is mentioned or the entire سند is missed out other than the تابعي and the صحابي together so the تابعي and the صحابي is mentioned are mentioned but the others are not mentioned ومنها أن يحذف من حدثه ويضيفه إلى من فوقه. And another example of the معلق is to drop the شيخ of the راوي, say Bukhari, we'll use Bukhari here, Imam Bukhari drops his شيخ and he narrates from somebody, from his شيخ, ويضيفه إلى من هو فوقه. So for example, like in this example here, if we were to drop it here, yes. And we will say right, and we were to drop this person here, Imam Bukhari, and then he directly narrates from this person. Then that is also mu'allaq. So that's what we understand normally mu'allaq for. But then, as I mentioned, even if this person is missed out, and then the author basically this person or this person is missed out. And the author goes there. Or tabi'i is missed out, and the author says, "Qala Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala." All of these are examples of mu'allaq, providing that the isnad is missing from the beginning of the isnad, and it is the author that is doing that. Those are the two conditions that the drop has to start from the beginning of the isnad, and it is the author who is actually doing the dropping, right? And the reason why the second condition is important is it's going to come because of the fear of tadlis. Okay, any question before we move on?
No.
Okay, فإن كان من فوقه شيخا لذلك المصنف قد اختلف فيه هل يسمى تعليقا أو لا، والصحيح في هذا التفصيل. And if the person that is above the person that is missed out is also the sheikh, is also the sheikh of that author, then there is an ikhtilaf, difference of opinion. هل يسمى تعليقا أو لا؟ Is this called تعليق or is it called تدليس؟ والصحيح في هذا التفصيل. And the صحيح opinion is that there is more details on this. So let me explain تدليس to you. تدليس will come. And تدليس is one of those things that you need to remember what it is, because a lot of stuff depends on that. Tadlis is, I mean, there are four or five different types of tadlis, but the basic meaning of tadlis is when a narrator misses out his sheikh and narrates from his sheikh's sheikh. Yeah. When a narrator misses out his sheikh and narrates from his sheikh's sheikh, who also happened to be his sheikh as well, and gives the impression, or people get the impression, that he has heard from that sheikh. Let me give you an example. That is called tadlis. Give you an example of a tadlis. Let's say, let me just get rid of that so you're not looking directly. Look at me. Okay, tadlis. Right, let's say, call it musannif. Sheikh one, Sheikh two, right. So the relationship between the Musannif and the Sheikhs is like this. Yeah. Sheikh two. Is the teacher. This is the student. Yeah.
Yep.
And then this is the Musannif is also the student, but also the Musannif is also here. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the Sheikh 1 is the student of Sheikh 2, but the Musannif is also the student of Sheikh 2. Can you see the triangle here?
Yes.
Example of this will be Imam Abu Hanifa. Yeah.
Yep.
Abu Yusuf Muhammad, but Imam Muhammad is also the direct student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Can you see that's the relationship here? Yeah.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You have to understand that.
Yes, I understand this.
So, if the Musannif is knocking out this person, the question here is that is it tadlis or is it ta'liq? So we know what ta'liq is, right? Ta'liq is basically when the beginning part of the isnad is missing. Okay,
Right.
so do we call it ta'liq? So straightforward, we can call it ta'liq because the beginning part of the isnad is missing. However, should we call it tadlis because the second rawi in line is also the sheikh of the musannif, and the musannif has used terminologies, for example, an or qala sheikh or ani sheikh, or the people got the impression that because the sheikh, second sheikh is also the teacher, that when they see this isnad, right, they don't think that there is somebody else in the there that's missing, and they assume, even though the musannif did not say that, they assume that the musannif heard directly from the second sheikh. So it should that be classed as ta'liq or should that be classed as tadlis? Tadlis is deception. Does that make sense? So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that there is tafsil here. فَإِنْ عُرِفَ بِالنَّسِّ أَوِ الْإِسْتِقْرَاءِ أَنَّ فَاعِلَ ذَلِكَ مُدَلِّسٌ قُضِيَ بِهِ وَإِلَّا فَتَعْلِيقٌ. Yeah? If it is known from Nas or through research that the person who does this is an established mudallis, then this practice will be called tadlis. And if it is not known, and if it cannot be established that this person practices tadlis, then we call it ta'liq. So it depends on the rawi, the musannif's, what we called track record. If the musannif has got a penchant for lying about his shuyukh or giving a wrong impression about his shuyukh, and he's been branded as a mudallis, so for him to do that, then that will be providing that he doesn't use the word sima, and he uses, because of the tadlis is a mudallis is an ana. When they say an, is not accepted. The only time a mudallis is riwayat is accepted is when they say sami'tu or haddathana, expressive terms. So if he's
Correct.
saying an, then we either we call this tadlis and we reject it, or if there isn't a track record of doing tadlis, then we basically accept it and say that it is ta'liq. Does that make sense?
A few questions. Can it be
Yes.
both at the same time or no? Could it be both
So yeah,
technically?
so are you saying, like, so this is the question. There is, we could make a question and answer versions of this. Like, have you seen Maulana Tashilud Dururi fi Masail al Quduri, where there's an Indian scholar, Maulana Anwar something Badkhashani, the writer of Zadu Talibin, he basically writes everything out as question and answer. There is actually a question here, and that is the question is, if it is possible for the ta'liq to also be a mu'dal, the mu'allaq hadith to be also a mu'dal at the same time, can it
Right.
be possible for the mu'allaq hadith to also be a mudallas hadith at the same time? That's the question. And
Yes.
Imam Ibn Hajar, where in the above question, he said that it is possible for a mu'allaq to be a mu'dal at the same time, here is basically saying, no, it can't be both of them at the same time. It has to be either or. Okay. And the
Got it.
reason why is because ta'liq is tolerated, tadlis is not tolerated. And because they're contradictory, we need to establish which one is, and basically say this is either mudallas or this is either mu'allaq. But what can't happen is they can't coexist together. Can you see
Right.
what's happening here?
Yes.
So this question is born out of the previous question, that if you can do
Correct.
that, then can you do that this here? And he's saying no. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
وَإِنَّمَا ذُكِرَ التَّعْلِيقُ فِي قِسْمِ الْمَرْدُودِ لِلْجَهْلِ بِحَالِ الْمَحْظُوفِ. You see, by saying وَإِنَّمَا, he's trivializing it. You're the only reason why the ta'liq has been mentioned in the Qism of Mardud is because we don't know the situation of the omitted person, right? Because that's the only reason why we mentioned it. right? Not because in and of itself is a problem and that the isnad is wrong, but it's just that we don't know. That is opposed to knowing that somebody is a known mudallas who's known to deceive. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, yeah.
And this is why I basically made that caveat at the beginning that so it says وَقَدْ يُحْكَمُ بِصِحَّتِهِ إِنْ عُرِفَ that once we know the hal of the rawi, we can declare the hadith to be sahih, right? بِأَيَّ جِئَ مُسَمَّنْ مِنْ وَجْهٍ آخَرَ that the name is mentioned in another isnad, right? Once we know the name of that person, then the hadith is sahih. You see, so this is the caveat that I made at the beginning that mardud is just a heuristic device, which can include within itself something which is temporarily problematic because we don't know and our knowledge of it is suspended, or something which is inherently diseased and problematic that we have to. It's a heuristic device. It's an art rather than a science. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay, so the next mas'ala that is coming up is called mas'ala to ta'dil 'ala al-ibham. Mas'ala to ta'dil 'ala al-ibham, which we will not be going into today because it is a kind of difficult and we've run out of time and is nearly Maghrib time now. But I just like to mention that there won't be a class next week because I'm away on traveling. So we will resume the
Okay.
class on the 8th, inshallah. Is that okay?
Inshallah. Yep, that's fine.
Are
Thank
there
you
any
so
more
much.
questions?
Jazakallah khair. No questions.
And I was wondering if Hussein, are you here?
Yes, Maulana. Assalamualaikum. Sorry, I joined a little bit late.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
No. I mean, what I kept, what I was able to join and everything, I think I've understood.
Okay. Okay.
Jazakallah.
So more important than this is the discussion of Tadlis, which is coming, which is quite complicated. So inshallah, once we do so on the 8th, Mas'ala to Ta'dil ala al-Ibham, then we'll go to the Mas'ala of Tadlis and spend a bit of time on that. And inshallah, then we can move forward. Okay, I will see you in a fortnight's time, inshallah. Okay.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Just quickly, I know you messaged saying you might have some questions or you wanted to speak to me about Umrah or something like that. So I mean,
Yeah, we could take that
whenever you
off.
have a chance, yeah, just give me a call whenever.
Okay,
Works for you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh,
Assalamu alaikum.